Just a quick note before getting started. This story is also available on YouTube and Scribblehub for your convenience. Links are in the description. Mech Warrior, Wild Rose, Battletech Fiction by Lucien Dacier. Chapter 7, Kilremont, New San Andreas 4, The Periphery, Rimward of the Circinus Federation. 19 April 3077. The next few days were busy ones for Marie. Carradine had apparently been serious when she said hussars like to move. All five of them worked 14-hour days repairing the damage from the fighting on Huntingdon, running diagnostics, and doing last-minute readjustments. The hussars were not a big enough unit to have a dedicated maintenance staff, so each pilot had to supervise repairs to his or her own mech, pulling in whatever technicians were available for extra hands, be it the Sirocco's maintenance staff or the technicians from Meridian Manufacturing. On top of that, the mech bay itself was periphery-grade quality all around, meaning the equipment was easily 4 or 5 decades old, and any replacement parts were equally out of date. The result was constant frustration, along with a lot of shouting around the mech bay whenever anyone's machine was being worked on. Marie still volunteered to help when she could, taking the chance to get to know the other mechs she would be riding alongside of. From what she saw, her teammates' mechs were a mishmash of different gear and designs. Wolfgang's Commando was a 3A model from the 3020s, making it only slightly more advanced than the equipment they were working with around the spaceport. Its paired short-range missile launchers promised trouble for anything it was pointed at, but its armor was thin, evidenced by the frightening amount of internal damage the mech had. Even so, the internals were surprisingly straightforward, making it relatively easy to repair the damage and swap out the broken parts. Hoshino's Katamari Charger was the polar opposite, an old machine with a maze of spaghetti wires and spliced-in replacement parts under its armored carapace. According to Hoshino, the Katamari had started as one of the notoriously useless 1A1 chargers, with Hoshino's great-grandfather being the one to give the mech its name. Over the decades, the mech had been upgraded and modified into something resembling a more modern 3K variant, with an extra-light fusion engine and a rack of LRMs in the chest. Marie could tell the mech's arms carried regular medium lasers instead of the pulse versions mounted in the torso, but that was about all she could make of the odd design. She worked on the machine for a few days, trying to figure out what was wired into what before finally throwing up her hands. Hoshino had laughed at that, saying many great technicians had been defeated by the Katamari before. Carradine's mech was a completely different experience. A generation newer than either of the other Hussars' machines, the Raptor was made to be pulled open and reconfigured as needed. Marie was barely needed for that mech, but she made a mental note of its loadout. It was a custom configuration, with an array of lasers in the arms and chest, an SRM launcher, and, surprisingly, a Beagle active probe nestled in the torso. The Raptor was made to be a fast strike mech, with almost half of its total mass reserved for weapons. The probe took up a fair amount of its pod space, but Carradine seemed especially protective of that part. "I'll salvage that off my old mongoose, along with the comms equipment," Carradine explained one day while Marie was giving the mech a once-over. "Trust me, that probe is more valuable than any extra guns I could cram in there." Marie took that at face value. A mongoose's sensors and communications equipment made it a solid scout, so there was certainly nothing wrong with repurposing its parts. The Blossom was its own beast. Marie was put in charge of repairs and maintenance on the mech, but she barely knew where to start. She'd only worked on it for a day before taking it off of Huntingdon, and that had been just to replace one weapon. Repairing the armor and giving it a full maintenance check was a completely different and far more complicated operation. She'd had some time to go over the systems on board the Sirocco, but everything had been reconfigured when the machine changed modes. Only now that she was in a mostly functioning mech bay could she really look at the Blossom's internal workings to figure out what was what. On the upside, she had no shortage of help available. Word of a transforming mech from the Star League had spread quickly, and it seemed like everyone who could handle a wrench was asking if they could have a look at it. Marie suddenly understood why Jane had been so jealously protective of the machine. A clumsy tech who didn't know what they were doing might just hammer away and end up breaking something that couldn't be replaced. More often than not, Marie found herself turning volunteers away until she'd had a chance to look at the mech herself. She did all the checks she could think of, but the Blossom's systems were all new to her. She did discover that the Blossom did not carry a separate reserve of reaction mass for her jump jets. Instead, the mech burned small amounts of her stored aerospace fuel to jump. On the one hand, that meant the Blossom could jump far more often than a regular battle mech, but on the other hand, it meant the more she jumped, the less she could fly, and vice versa. That was just one of a dozen little quirks Marie discovered, but everything at least seemed to be in working order, with no blips on the mech's internal diagnostics. The actuators all seemed fine as well. Apparently the mech's slow ground speed was just part of the design. In the end, Marie had to mentally cross her fingers and hope that Jane had been good about keeping the mech on a decent service schedule. Battle mechs were supposed to be durable beasts, after all, able to go years or even decades in between major work. She repaired the armor and had it painted to match the Hussars, and also gave the mode selection lever a shot of grease. Now it moved smoothly between settings, without needing enough force to dislocate her arm. Aside from that, the only change Marie felt comfortable making was wiring an electrical socket into the cockpit, letting her plug in her legs when she piloted. No sense in letting all the energy of that reactor go to waste, after all. In addition to getting the mechs ready, Marie spent her time doing the reading and researching the planet she was on. Save for a handful of cities and a scattering of villages, New St. Andrews was a planet of untamed wilderness. What wasn't mountain or ocean was covered with trees and the occasional grassy plains. The planet's flora had adapted to the dim light from the system's star. The trees were hardy, evergreen affairs that sported needle-like leaves to draw in as much of the weak sunlight as they could. The sprawling forests of those trees were the main problem, giving any pirates ample places to retreat to. Meridian had brought heavy industry to the planet. Their three manufacturing plants had turned a planet of farmers into an actual production hub. After a few years of setting up, they had an efficient system in place to put out their military hardware. Plant 3 brought in and refined raw materials. Plant 2 assembled components, and final assembly was done at Plant 1 before the new tanks and mechs were shipped to the spaceport for delivery to customers across the periphery. Thomas kept them all busy, testing their knowledge of the planet. Sometimes the tests were a standard question-answer format like they were in some kind of classroom. Other times it was more of a practical exam. The Hussars would mount up in their battle mechs and do patrols through the woods around Killerimont. With all the repairs and tweaks to their mechs, they had to do shakedown runs to make sure everything was in working order. In between the tests, Marie finally managed to talk to Carradine long enough to confirm she was grounded for the time being, under orders to keep the broken Blossom in battle mech form at all times. Apparently, Meridian Manufacturing was refusing any kind of support past the specific contract, which meant the Hussars would have to pay for every liter of aerospace fighter fuel the Blossom went through. She couldn't spend much time flying around or even jumping without burning through their whole budget. Marie tried arguing that she needed a chance to fly so she could test the Blossom's capabilities and get a real feel for the lamb, but Carradine nixed that. "No can do, McLeod," the lieutenant had said. "I wanted to warn you ahead of time I was grounding you, but Meridian wanted to talk to me right away and I didn't get a chance to brief you. I'm playing it safe for now while you get used to piloting my new mech. Maybe in a little while you'll get a chance to stretch your wings, but for now I need you to focus on ground operations alongside the rest of us. After all, none of the other Hussars can fly, right?" Marie had accepted that explanation, even if she chafed at the restriction. She grudgingly spent the next few days focusing on getting a feel for how the Blossom moved on the ground. Unfortunately, after the first week, the novelty of piloting the Blossom was wearing off. The shakedown runs all too often involved tearing through the woods at maximum speed, going through courses Thomas laid out on the maps. Thomas rode along in the back of Wolfgang's commando, barking at all of them to keep up the pace. The Blossom was tied with Hoshino's Katamari for the slowest of the Hussars, and Marie was still adjusting to the mech and the neurohelmet. The result was that more often than not, she was left stumbling along far behind everyone else, with Thomas reaming her out over how slow she was moving. Marie was left sweating and dizzy from the runs, collapsing into her bed only to wake up too early to do it all over again. The only consolation she really got was the headaches from her neuro helmet were slowly dying down. After the first week, piloting the Blossom only left her with a dull, persistent throbbing in her temples. She took it as progress and threw herself into learning to pilot the mech, pushing the Blossom through every obstacle the Hussars could throw at her. It didn't seem to make much difference to Thomas, who seemed unimpressed with her at all times, constantly sending her on another run or testing her on the landscape of the planet. Marie kept up as best she could, mostly because her persistence seemed to infuriate him. In contrast to her sergeant, Carradine openly approved of Marie's performance and encouraged Marie to get out and keep moving even when Thomas was giving her a hard time. Marie suspected Carradine's encouragement was not entirely altruistic. She was sure the lieutenant was enjoying the notoriety the Blossom was bringing her unit. Not that Marie minded being famous, of course. Bauer and Cohill watched the Hussars closely through their shakedown runs. Usually they sat in an observation post in the spaceport, coming to meet with Carradine after every run. During these conversations, Carradine looked like she was tolerating the two of them, nodding along as they went through a list of notes on the unit's performance so far. From the annoyed looks the other Hussars had on whenever the two men were around, Marie guessed this was how working with client liaisons usually went. Outside of watching the Hussars, Bauer kept a busy schedule around the spaceport. Over and over again, Marie caught him with a camera crew doing interviews, ranting about the capabilities of the Arbiter. One day, he was doing one in the mech bay. Marie had the Blossom's chest armor open after the latest shakedown run, and was trying to make sense of the labyrinthine internal parts when she heard his accented voice carrying over the usual ambient din of the bay. She looked up to see Bauer up on the catwalk going between the mech hangars, standing proudly in front of a holocamera. Marie didn't recognize him at first. The man had changed into a wide-sleeved shirt and a tartan kilt, capped off by a matching bonnet hat on his head. On most people, it would have looked ridiculous, but on the square-jawed, broad-shouldered Bauer, it somehow worked. He was thrusting out his chest, talking about how Meridian Security was ready to bash some pirate schools. Marie saw one of the holocameras aimed in her direction, and she waved half-heartedly. Suddenly self-conscious about how she was covered in grease and sweat from work, she took the personnel lift back up to the catwalk. She went over to where Wolfgang and Hoshino were leaning on the catwalk railing, taking a short breather from mech work. "I'm not sure he's Scottish enough. How about you guys?" Marie asked, mock innocently. Hoshino chuckled at that. In all the reading they'd been assigned, they'd seen New St. Andrews was founded in pre-spaceflight Scottish culture. Meridian had very clearly decided to capitalize on that. As Bauer ranted and posed, Cohill stood behind the camera crew, tapping on a datapad. His expression looked slightly less constipated than usual. After a few minutes, he walked up to Marie and the others.
"Good, you're all here. The marketing team needs a soundbite from you," Cohill said to them.
Without waiting for their reaction, he gestured at the crew. A reporter in the lead headed over to them, followed by a cameraman.
"Now we get to meet the latest addition of the Planetary Defense Force, the contractors who will be deployed alongside our own Angus Bauer," the reporter was saying, walking backwards towards them while he faced the camera.
He turned back around as he got up to Marie and the others.
"Hi, good afternoon," he said cheerfully. "What do you think of being deployed alongside the crown jewel of Meridian Manufacturing?" the man asked, thrusting a microphone into Marie's face.
She stammered, her eyes flickering to the hololens behind the reporter.
"Mr. Bauer is a joy to work with," Hoshino said.
He grinned as the camera turned towards him.
"I am sure his talent will be a huge asset in the field."
"Great," the reporter said. "But what do you think about the Arbiter? New St. Andrew's own homegrown battle mech?"
The camera turned back towards Marie, who shrugged helplessly. "I mean, we haven't seen it yet. It was supposed to be coming in today, right?"
"Just say something positive. They'll edit it in later," Cohill muttered, giving her an annoyed stare.
It's an impressive machine, I guess," Marie said uncertainly.
Those pirates had better watch out.
Great, thanks,
the reporter said. He glanced back at the cameraman, who flashed him a thumbs up.
All right, now we just need to shoot some B-roll and we'll be all set here, he said to Cohill. When are the units coming in?
The Arbiters should arrive from the factory later today, Cohill said, checking his watch. Where do you need to set up?
Lighting's best at the front, so let's set the incoming units up here, the reporter said, waving at the front four mech hangars.
We'll get some shots of an Arbiter standing in front of the bay, with the other standing behind it. It'll be a very powerful image.
Great, I love it.
We'll get the hangars cleared out then, Cohill said.
What? Murray asked. Over the past week, the Hussars had taken to storing their mechs in the front four hangars, to save time as they entered and exited on the daily shakedowns.
You heard me. Meridian needs the front mech hangars. Get your equipment out of there.
Wolfgang responded by silently crossing his arms and staring the man down.
Moving our battle mechs requires approval from our commanding officer, Hoshino said placatingly. But I am sure she would be willing to hear your request.
Don't encourage him, Wolfgang grumbled.
Cohill barely seemed fazed.
Great, just get it done ASAP, he said quickly, snapping his fingers.
I'm still putting the chest back together. I can't just flick a switch and move her, Marie protested, gesturing at the blossom. Out the corner of her eye, she saw the camera crew swing their holocameras towards the mech.
That's not my problem. Do I need to remind you that you work for us?
Cohill snapped.
Just get it done!
Marie blinked and stammered, trying to find the words to respond. Before she could say anything, a new set of footsteps approached.
How about we keep the mechs right where they are, and your holocrew actually does their job and finds a way to work around them?
Carradine asked, coming up alongside Marie. The reporter shook his head. No can do. The light...
Get some damn flashlights if you have to, Carradine interrupted. And I have a hard time believing you want our mechs out of here. We're getting enough shots of my machines while we're sitting around wasting time on this.
She turned her attention to Cohill.
As for you, any requests for Hussar machines should come through me. Do not bother my people when they're working, and definitely don't try to move the metal unless you're ready to get behind them and push.
Cohill's face darkened.
Did you forget who's paying your bills? We are the ones who...
We just contacted me and gave me different orders, Mr. Cohill, Carradine interrupted. The good news is, my people will be moving out of your damn bay in the next 12 hours. Bad news is your arbiters will not be arriving today. Your unwelcome guests just decided to hit one of your factories.
Cohill stammered a moment, his mouth opening and closing wordlessly for a few seconds before his eyes flickered to the reporter, standing just arm's length from him and holding his microphone towards them all. He hissed at the man to back off, shooing him off to the camera crew further away on the catwalk, before turning back to Carradine.
What are you talking about? He snapped. I hadn't heard anything about an attack.
Behind him, Bauer perked up, a flash of fear showing on his face before he recovered.
Maybe because you are too busy marketing a machine that isn't even here, Carradine said coldly.
Your board of directors just contacted me directly to call the Hussars in. We're shipping off to Manufacturing Plant 1 in 12 hours, she said, her eyes flickering over to Marie, Hoshino, and Wolfgang. Cohill stammered a few more seconds before shaking his head.
This is preposterous. I need to call my manager, he muttered,
stepping away from Carradine and backing down from her steely gaze. Hoshino, Wolfgang, and Marie all looked at Carradine appreciatively, but she waved them off.
Get back to work, you three. I'm not paying you to watch this dog and pony show, she said with a wave at the camera crew. You all better get my machines ready to move, and quick. Meridian's just found out the hard way its security team isn't up to the task. Time to show them someone is.
Hoshino nodded at her and headed back over to the mechs, with Wolfgang in tow.
Thanks for that, sir, Marie said to Carradine as she turned to follow them.
I'll expect better than that, McLeod, Carradine warned. I can't have you freezing up just because some jackass thinks he's in charge.
She pointed a thumb at her own chest.
My orders are the only ones you should listen to. Now get back down there and get my damn mech back together again. We roll out in 12 hours whether you're ready or not.
Marie nodded again. Yes, sir. Thank you. She thought she saw a hint of a smile on Carradine's lips as the woman turned away from her. Chapter 8.
Meridian Manufacturing Plant 1, New St. Andrews 4, the Periphery, Rimward of the Circinus Federation, 20 April 3077. As promised, the Hussars prepared to move out the following morning for Meridian's first manufacturing plant. Marie worried about how their liaisons were supposed to follow them to the plant, but it turned out her worries were unfounded. A VTOL would be sent over to pick up Bauer and Cohill and get them to the factory in time for the Hussars to arrive. Marie breathed a quiet sigh of relief that she wouldn't have to ride with Cohill stuffed in behind her command chair. Not that she got off with zero annoyance. Her mother insisted on having dinner with her ahead of time, which she used to give Marie a long list of warnings about things Marie already knew. Stay with your teammates, watch your heat, and above all else, remember that you're still learning. Maria definitely didn't need to be reminded of that last part. She swore Thomas's barking was still echoing in her head after all the test runs. Rachel made Marie promise to stay in touch while they were separated. Marie nodded and sullenly agreed, as she'd learned to do over the last few years. She tried not to think about how she'd been hoping to get some time out before going on deployment. One of the engineers around the mech bay had caught her eye, and it would have been good to get a drink with him and unwind before heading out, especially after a stressful week of preparation. But family obligations trumped her own wants, just like they always had. Standing in the mech bay at the crack of dawn the next morning, Marie realized this would be the furthest she'd been from her mother in quite some time. The thought of going out on her own, piloting a battle mech out over a planet instead of being crammed into a dropship, sent a thrill through her. She figured her mother would appreciate some time to herself, too. The march from Kilvrimont to the manufacturing plant was over 400 kilometers long, and Carradine said there would be no stops along the way. On foot, it would have been a grueling trek, but riding in battle mechs, it was a day trip. Marie packed some emergency food supplies, along with toilet paper. The Blossom had a field latrine in the back of the cockpit, like many mechs. So prepared, she and the other Hussars set off at sunrise. Carradine took point, her Fleetfoot mech moving out ahead while Wolfgang followed along, with the Blossom and the Katamari bringing up the rear. En route to the manufacturing plant, Carradine gave them a briefing. They were headed for Meridian's Manufacturing Plant 1, which was finalizing a shipment of Arbiters for transport to the spaceport, where they would be loaded onto the waiting Sirocco for shipment off to buyers off on nearby planets. The shipment had been delayed, as less than 2 days ago there had been a concerted attack on Manufacturing Plant 2, inflicting heavy losses on their security forces. The Arbiter shipment had been secured at Plant 1, but the attack had spooked Meridian enough that they had locked all three of their plants down. The Hussars were being called in as additional reinforcements to stabilize the situation and escort the mech shipment to the spaceport.
"The babysitting's starting early,"
Wolfgang grumbled over the comm line.
"They sending their man along with us on this?" "I'm sure they are,"
Carradine replied.
"These people make military equipment and they couldn't keep pirates away from their own base. They're looking to get some good publicity right now."
Wolfgang snorted dismissively at that.
"They shouted to the whole sphere that they're ready for pirates, and then when someone took that as a challenge, they cry for help. Yeah, I'll bet they need us on their little ad campaign."
Marie said nothing to that. She couldn't understand why the Hussars were so against Bauer joining them. Sure, he was annoyingly enthusiastic, and she could guess the man was not as experienced as most of the mech warriors, but how bad could he be? With hostile forces out there, another mech would be a welcome addition to anyone going out on patrols. She chose to stay quiet about it, figuring the Hussars just weren't fond of outsiders. There was no reason to remind them that she was still basically an outsider, too. After almost 8 hours of marching, they were finally coming up on the manufacturing plant. Marie quietly breathed a sigh of relief as the plant appeared on her sensors. Her back was stiff and her head was throbbing. Carradine had been serious when she'd said they would not be stopping along the way. Marie was also exhausted from obsessively watching her sensor feeds for any trace of trouble. Carradine had said that pirates would be hesitant to get near battle mechs, but Marie wondered if the pirates knew she felt the same way about them right now. The manufacturing facility itself was a blocky structure built into a mountainside. It looked almost peaceful from a distance, but as they approached, the sensors began to pick up power plants.
"Mech power-up detected,"
A set of bay doors opened in the side of the plant as the hussars drew close.
"Form up, hussars. The welcoming committee's here,"
Carradine warned from her position far in advance of their column. As she said this, a mech lumbered out of the doors. It was an imposing form, a chunky, ape-like design with thick armor plates on the shoulders bracketing a narrow cockpit. Its humanoid body was dotted everywhere with spikes, and the mech's entire right arm was an enormous gun barrel. It leveled that gun directly at Fleetfoot as the hussars approached. Marie's hands twitched on the controls, a targeting reticule appearing over the mech as the Blossom read her intentions through the neural helmet.
"Targeting?"
"Lieutenant?" she asked hesitantly.
"Hold fire, Blossom,"
Thomas snapped.
"Cool your guns right now."
"Take a breath, McLeod,"
Carradine added more calmly.
"Look closer. See the camera crew?"
Marie blinked, looking closer. As the display zoomed in, she spotted a holo crew on the ground near the hangar, their lenses aimed up at the mechs. On top of that, she could pick out the specks of unmanned camera drones flying around the entrance to the factory. Even as Marie took that in, the other mech's external speakers came to life.
"Good to receive you, lads and lassies!"
Bauer's voice boomed out over the speakers, making Marie jump in her seat.
"You're right on time! Welcome to our home base!"
Marie glanced back down at the sensors, seeing the Blossom's computer had finally made sense of the other mech's IFF signature and labeled it Arbiter. "Alright, I'm sold," Marie said, half to herself. "If I were a pirate, I would not want to face that thing."
"Too bad for these guys, they're up against people who actually have some guts,"
Wolfgang said back to her.
"And their best test pilot is busy announcing to the whole planet where he is."
"A clever warrior knows how to draw attention to himself,"
Hoshino quipped.
"So do the dumb ones,"
Wolfgang shot back.
"Quiet,"
Carradine snapped at them.
"Fall in, hussars. We're parking here for 4 hours, then we're heading back out for this escort mission. I want final checks on all the machines before then."
Marie grimaced at the thought of just 4 hours' rest, especially if she was going to spend at least 2 of those hours checking all the Blossom systems for the 100th time. At the moment, she just wanted to go to bed. Check that, she thought, as her stomach rumbled. First, she wanted to eat something with more flavor than the military MREs she'd brought along. Then she wanted to go to bed. The Arbiter turned around and headed back through the bay doors it had come from. They followed behind the mech, entering into a mech bay inside the doors. They were directed over to where a set of hangars were sitting open for them. Once the Blossom was secure, Marie took a moment to change back into her uniform before exiting her cockpit. Outside, she saw the other hussars in various states of getting dressed, apparently preferring not to get changed in their cramped mech cockpits. As they were straightening up their uniforms, an aide appeared, saying the management board wanted to talk to Carradine.
"Not a surprise," Carradine replied. "Sergeant, make sure everything here is in order. I'll go take care of this."
She tugged her uniform straight and had turned to follow the aide when she stopped, looking thoughtful for a moment.
"McLeod, come along," she said.
Marie gave her a confused look.
"Sir, I was going to get the Blossom in order. Thomas will handle it. Come on," she said, beckoning.
Marie hesitated a moment, glancing back at the other hussars who were looking at her expectantly. Swallowing her nervousness, she followed along after Carradine.
"I hate going to these things alone," Carradine whispered in explanation. "The clients always got something new to bitch at me about over things they don't understand. And they always show up with a whole entourage, so they've got me outnumbered."
"Why not bring Thomas, then?" Marie whispered back. "I'll need him supervising the mix," Carradine answered. "And you were asking smart questions at the last one of these. Figured you should see more how the sausage is made in this business." She flashed Marie a supportive smile at that.
"Sounds good," Marie said with a nod. "What should I expect?"
"They're gonna complain a lot. They always do. And there's gonna be a one more thing moment. They'll want to change the contract terms over something. I'll handle them. You just stay quiet and remember you're more important than any of the people we're about to see. But remember you are under my command.
When I give an order in front of a client, your answer needs to be, yes, sir. Meridian wants to see I'm in control and have a plan. It's a bad look for my people to be questioning my instructions. Even worse than aiming lasers at our liaison, she added with a raised eyebrow. All right, Marie said. Yes, sir, she corrected. Sorry about that, I didn't know what was happening. Garrodin nodded briefly in response, but had already turned her attention to Bauer, who had climbed out of the Arbiter in an adjoining hangar, near the huge flatbed trucks holding the other four Arbiters being shipped. Bauer was still in his kilt, and was readjusting his bonnet hat as his feet hit the catwalk outside of the mech. Marie spotted the holocrew on the catwalk with him taking pictures, and suddenly she wished she'd had more time to straighten up before getting out of the Blossom. Her wrinkled clothes and ashen face looked especially terrible next to Carradine, who somehow looked like she'd had time to press her uniform and get made up before coming out into the public eye. The aide led Marie and Carradine out of the mech bay into a conference room. Bauer jogged to catch up to them after leaving the holocrew behind.
"Damn glad to be seeing you here," Bauer said. "There's plenty of arse to kick out there."
"Sounds like it," Carradine replied politely. "Let's find out how much." Bauer held the door for Carradine and Marie before following them in. Inside was a wide wooden conference table seating Cohill and a few other sour-looking people in suits. A projector on the wall displayed a panel of other people who were video-calling in remotely. Counting a dozen faces in all, Marie understood what Carradine meant about being outnumbered at these meetings. Bauer dropped into a chair near Cohill, while Carradine took a position standing at the end of the table, gesturing for Marie to stand at the wall behind her.
"First, we're glad you could come so promptly," a large man at the head of the table said. "I'm Creedon Napier, chief of production for this plant."
He gestured to a woman at his left.
"This is..." "Why don't we skip the introductions?" Carradine interrupted.
"From what I understand, time is of the essence here. We were lucky enough to get on planet a few days ahead of schedule, so let's not waste that. Now, you've already had a strike on your plant?"
Napier nodded at that. "Straight to business, I can appreciate that. Yes, we had a strike on Plant 2. Our security teams moved out to engage them, but they were repulsed. We lost a few truckloads of mech components from the factory, along with several security units."
"Including some of your Arbiters, I'm guessing?" Carradine asked. The man clenched his jaw and nodded.
"We lost two of the units we'd set aside for testing and security purposes."
"Then your security teams gave them what they came for." She went quiet for a heartbeat, letting that sink in. "What can you tell me about the raiding force? Composition? Tactics?" Napier nodded at the wall of video callers. One of the projected faces cleared his throat.
Yes, Gavin Wenley, head of security at Plant 2, he said in introduction. "There was an initial strike by a lance of light battle mechs. Our security force moved out to engage them and drove their forces back. They retreated," he said defensively.
"But?"
Carradine asked. Wenley hesitated.
"When my security team gave chase, a unit of heavier battle mechs engaged from cover in the trees," he admitted. "They flanked us."
"They tricked you into overextending," Carradine said. "They drew you into a kill box where they could fire from cover, all for the cost of a couple of damaged mechs, which I'm guessing was still able to limp away."
At the silence this brought on, Carradine leaned forward, putting both hands on the table and sweeping her gaze over the suited officials.
"Then I got here just in time," she said evenly. "Like I told Cohill when we first got here, you're not just paying for my unit's machinery, you're paying for our experience. I've been leading a light, high-mobility unit for over a decade now, and I can already tell these raiders are familiar with the basics of asymmetric warfare. Right now, you're stuck trying to guess at what move to make, and these raiders know it. So you need to let my people get to work so we can actually go out and find these pirates and take the fight to them."
Marie felt a warm bloom of pride in her chest at Carradine's words. The woman's voice was confident and strong, without a hint of hesitation or doubt. She glanced over the other people at the table, who looked similarly impressed at Carradine's speech.
"I like that,"
Cohill said.
He looked at Bauer.
"Did you get all that? Think you can manage her delivery?"
"I'll give it a shot,"
Bauer said with a little shrug.
"Soon as we're done here, get the cameras ready."
Carradine shot Bauer a withering look.
"I'm not your pitch lady.
Do whatever you want with your marketing team to sell your mech. Just remember why you had to call me in here. You need to stay out of my way and let my people work.
And what's that gotten us so far?
Another man at the table demanded.
We're paying you people good money, and so far all you've done is take up space in our mech bays and run laps around the spaceport. You were unable to stop an attack on our plant. If not for our own security team, we'd have lost a whole shipment.
Carradine slowly turned her head to look at him, her eyes steely.
Don't criticize my people for your own mistakes, she said coldly. We had repairs to make and new blood to get up to speed. If we'd raced here without preparing, we couldn't have helped you.
She looked away from him, back to Napier.
I choose to see this attack as a positive. The pirates know my people are on planet, and they don't have a way off until their dropship comes back. It was a risky move to strike one of your plants directly. That means they're nervous. They know they're in trouble with my team here.
Napier nodded at that.
Agreed. Now, the first step of your response is to figure out what's out there, yes?
Carradine nodded at that.
We'll see you're provided with all the sensor data we've gathered so far. Your team can start your scouting patrols as soon as your mechs are ready. With one caveat, he said, raising a finger.
One more thing, Murray thought to herself.
Carradine gave him an irritated stare for a few seconds before nodding at him.
Which is? She asked icily. Cohill, let me know the basics of your plan. Preemptive sweeps are a good step, but we've moved security units off of Plant 1 to reinforce Plant 2 after the attack. At the moment, Plant 1 is fully committed to fulfilling the orders from our customers, so after this shipment of Arbiters leaves, we will be vulnerable here, he said, pointing down at the table for emphasis.
That's not tenable. Plant 1 assembles our finished products, which makes it a very tempting target for these pirates. So until we get a chance to rebuild our security forces here, I have to ask you to leave some forces behind to help manage our defenses.
Carradine raised one eyebrow skeptically. It sounds like there's a minimum of 2 lances out there, and I've only got 1. You want me to handicap myself even more?
We have to keep our workers safe and our factories operational, or else running off the pirates will be for nothing, Napier replied.
Carradine considered that, drumming her fingers on the table as she thought. Marie could see her weighing the options. 2-1 odds were hardly favorable, but there was a lot of area to cover, too. The Hussars were getting ready to play a game of hide-and-seek with missiles and lasers over a swath of open wilderness hundreds of square kilometers in size. And if anyone slipped past them, the client was the one who would take the hit.
All right, Carradine finally agreed.
The original contract was to review and coordinate your defense force anyway, so we can give you a review before we head out.
Napier nodded.
That's a good start, but we still need hardware on site. I was thinking that Phoenix Hawk could stay on guard duty here. We've been getting initial feedback from your test runs around the spaceport. You're all getting some great reactions, but the best numbers by far are for that one. People love things that fly, he said, spreading his hands. On top of that, most people have never seen a battle mech that changes shape. Amateur holos of its landing have gotten almost as many eyeballs as our last ad campaign.
You don't make a mech like the Blossom, Marie protested.
No one does.
Carradine gave her a sharp look at that outburst before turning her attention back to Napier.
More importantly, you were asking for a mech to help with defense, but you just told me you want it because it gets views. Pilot McLeod has better things to do than pose for holos. You realize you're under a real threat, right? If the plant gets attacked while your crew's out filming it, McLeod will be handicapped trying not to step on any of your own people.
Marie clenched her jaw at the implication, but said nothing. Meanwhile, Napier held up a hand placatingly.
Trust me, your pilot will be working guard duty full-time. We aren't asking her to pose for anything. Our team will only shoot a few holos of the mech in operation for some B-roll. And our field camera crews exclusively use unmanned drones to capture footage. If combat breaks up, your pilot won't have to worry about stepping on anyone. Our people will be safe behind these walls, he said, gesturing to the room around them.
And your own field team will not be understaffed at all. Bauer added on. I'll be deploying with you.
Carradine remained silent for another few seconds. Finally, she turned to meet Marie's eyes.
Pilot, think you can handle defensive patrols for a while?
Marie's heart sank as she saw not just Carradine, but everyone in the room looking at her expectantly.
Yes, sir, she answered quietly.
Carradine nodded at her and looked back to Napier.
Well, I can tell you McLeod's a gifted pilot. You'll be safe in her hands.
And I'll leave my XO here, too, to help coordinate and send me any new intel from your plants. But, once I get so much as a mild suspicion about where these raiding teams are based, I'm pulling McLeod back over to my team. And you, she went on, turning her attention to Bauer, you have my word we will be the model of professionalism out in the field, but you have to meet us halfway. We will keep moving. Any posturing or marketing routines wait until I say we've got time for them. Sound fair?
Bauer stood up, his back straight and his chin high. He at least looked the part of a proud military man as he gave Carradine a sharp salute. Marie barely even registered this gesture, though. She couldn't help feeling like she'd just been replaced before she'd even gotten started. Thanks for listening. And if you've listened to the previous chapters, thanks for coming back. I hope you enjoyed this. Battletech and MechWarrior are the property of Catalyst Game Labs. Before them was WizKids, and before them was FASA. There are also countless authors and artists who have contributed to this universe over the years. I encourage you to support the owners and any contributors in any way you can. Sound effects are sourced from freesound.org under the Creative Commons license. Rachel McLeod is a creation of James D. Long, who among other things wrote Main Event and DRT for the Battletech universe. Go read his stuff. Subscribe for more, and if you think I earned it, leave a 5-star review. Thanks again.